We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you, Lord, for a place to come and out of the wind, out of the rain, out of the cold, Lord, to just fellowship with you, Lord, to sing songs about you, and to read your words. And as long as everything is set around you, Lord, and you're in the middle, you promise that you're there in the midst, and we're counting on that, Lord, and we're grateful for that promise, and thank you for it. And now, Father, we pray that our hearts and our eyes and our ears would be open to your words this morning, and that we may see some truth of your words. And we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. Okay, last week, we saw a great picture of how a person gets saved, and I'll go ahead and read these verses, and then we'll get into the lesson here. Today is going to be a little bit more doctrinal, some practical, but more doctrinal on these same set of verses. We didn't get into any doctrinal stuff the last time we met to read these, but we'll get into some today, and we'll see what it looks like here. The Bible says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and colt, the foal of an ass. And his disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And so, great picture, folks, of how a person gets saved. First is that Jesus has a need. That was the first thing that came up. Jesus had a need. Right? And he sent his two disciples to go and fulfill that need. It says right there, if any man, verse 3, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. Isn't that something? There's something that God needs, right? Pretty neat. And we see, I mean, if most of you have Brother Dave's Bible. He's got a lot of references there where the ass is, wild ass is pictured of an unsaved man. Now, these are wild asses here, but it doesn't look like they are. They're somebody's owners. But be that as it may, it's a great picture of an unsaved man. And so Jesus has a need for unsaved people to receive him. Yeah, he does. He wants everybody to receive him. Every unsaved person to receive him as their Savior. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so because of this need of Jesus, he sends people who have already received him. His disciples received him as their Lord. Look at what Peter said. He said, Thou art the Son of the living God. And so we see that the disciples were following him. They've received him. Now, are they saved at this point? No, they still need to be converted. But they've received Jesus. They've received him as king. They cry out here in a little bit. And so, but so do some of the people as well. And so because of this need, Jesus sends people who already have received him to go and loose those that are bound. Right? That's the picture here. They're loosing those that are bound, knowing that they are going to be confronted with opposition. Jesus told them, you're going to be confronted here. If you're confronted It says right here, if any man say aught unto thee, and they did. We read in the Mark and the Luke passage and the John passage that they were confronted, and they told them that Jesus had a need. Right? They did what they were told to do. But those with the power to loose are not to fight the opposition with swords or with guns or with their fists. They're just supposed to tell them the words of Jesus Christ. Give them the scripture. Right? That's all we have to fight with is scripture. It's a sword, the Bible says. And so we give them the scripture. The Lord hath need. The Lord hath need of them. And so we don't fight with our fists. We fight with the word of God. Now, those with the power to loose, they must give those people that are bound the scriptures. And they need to bring those people to Jesus Christ, okay, with those scriptures. They can't just tell them, hey, you have to be saved and blah, 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 and never give them Jesus Christ. They have to bring them to Christ. They have to bring them to Christ. That's the picture. And those that are loosed and are brought to Christ, they must receive Jesus, which is a picture of this colt letting Jesus sit on him. They need to receive Jesus. And then they will be able to take Jesus to others. That's what the ass did. That's what the colt did. He took the ass to others. The ass took Jesus to others. The colt took Jesus to others. Okay? I don't know where that came up. We fight a spiritual battle every day, folks. And so, let's look at this set of scriptures, this passage here from chapter 21:1 through 11. Now, let's look at this from a doctrinal standpoint. And let's make the two disciples, let's just say, we'll call them the law and the prophets. Okay? Now, I know the Bible doesn't say that here. I'm just saying, let's look at this and see if we can make things fit doctrinally here. Remember, Matthew is a book about a king to Israel, right? We've taken it and applied it spiritually to an unsaved man, and now we're going to try and apply this doctrinally. And now, you know, if we have any questions, just raise your hand, and we'll see if we can answer them. This, I don't have all the information here. I'm just going to give you what it looks like. And so, if we make the disciples the law and the prophets with the power to loose the nation of Israel, to bring those, to bring Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the scriptures, which testified of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, right? To bring those scriptures which testified of Jesus Christ to the Jewish nation. Okay? So that would be a picture of the colt's mother. Okay? And the law and the prophets were set there to give the people the scriptures and loose them so that they could take God, Jesus Christ, through the scriptures to others, okay? And those that believed, and so those that believed, they acted upon them, and the belief of those scriptures were counted unto them for righteousness, okay? In which that ass would then take the scriptures containing God and Jesus to the other Jews and peoples along the way, once they believed, okay? And so that donkey the ass would be a picture of the Jewish nation. The two disciples would be a picture of the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets go and loose that donkey. That donkey receives the scriptures, which is the nation of the donkey, nation of Israel, receives the scriptures and takes Jesus, the scriptures, right, to everybody else along the way. first of all, to their own nation. Okay, what are these donkeys doing? What is this donkey and what is this colt doing? They're going into Jerusalem. Okay, so hence the ass would picture the Old Testament Jewish saints, like we said, carrying God. Now that leaves the colt, the foal of an ass. Now, would it fit if we make this colt the foal of an ass, that remnant of Jewish believers in the tribulation who are loosed and brought to Jesus by the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah? I'm just saying, would it fit? And this colt of an ass, or this colt, the foal of an ass, that's the Jewish remnant that receives Jesus Christ in the tribulation. And so what do you have left after that? What do you have left? Well, right now you have judgment pictured by the ass and the colt and Jesus riding thereon. That's what you have. You have a picture of that. Look in John 9:39. John 9:39. The Bible says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, and they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Okay? We have Jesus coming into the world, and he said, why did he come in? For judgment. Now go, if you would, to Judges 5:10. We'll start in verse 9. The Bible says, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. Okay. Also go to 12:14. Judges 12:14. So people that are sitting upon asses are judging. Judges 12:14. We'll start in verse 13. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hill, of a Perathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. So you have somebody that is judging Israel, right? And then you have their sons sitting on asses, colts, right? Jesus is God's son, is he not? And it's said that he rode into Jerusalem on an asses, colt. The colt, the foal of an ass. And so... But those who sit upon asses and those that are sons to judges sit on asses' colts. God is said to be a judge more than once in the Bible. When we'll go look at Psalm 56 and we'll see what it says there. Psalm 56. Verse 6, let's say that. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. 50 verse 6, I'm sorry. And we'll also go to Isaiah 33, verse 22. Isaiah 33, verse 22. The Bible says, "For the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, "is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." It looks like that's all three parts of the Godhead, and Jesus is in there, right? Because Jesus is going to save those that trust in him. And so, when we read the book of Matthew, we have to remember it is showing Jesus as king to the Jews, right? That's what it's showing. And so we can spiritualize those verses as for good preaching. We can. There's very good preaching spiritualizing the Bible. But when it comes to doctrinal application, you have to try to place it where it fits. And that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to place things where they might fit. And I'm just putting it out there, and you can take it where you want to go with it after that. But when is a Gentile told to carry Jesus to Jerusalem? When is a Gentile told to carry Jesus to Jerusalem? We're not, but the disciples are. Look, if you would, in Acts 1. Acts 1. 1 verse 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth." That was the disciples, right? The apostles. Now go with me, if you would, back to Matthew 21, verse 6 and 7, and look at what the Bible says the disciples did here. The Bible says, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon." And so it looks like the disciples have part in carrying Jesus to Jerusalem. And what did Jesus just get done telling the disciples in Acts? Where they were supposed to go. They were supposed to go there. They were supposed to take Jesus to Jerusalem and be witnesses of him there. And so, when they put their clothes on Jesus, they're putting the clothes on the ass's colt and the ass. Put them on both of them. That's what it says. They put them on them. They brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes. They put on them their clothes. And so you're probably wondering how the disciples have part in when the two witnesses loose the remnant in the tribulation. They went to Jerusalem after they received power of the Holy Ghost. But how would the disciples have part in taking Jesus into tribulation? Think about that. What are the two witnesses in the tribulation going to use to witness about Jesus Christ? They're going to use the scriptures. Didn't the disciples have part in writing them? Some of them did. Isn't that interesting? And so, in the tribulation, those two witnesses are going to use the scriptures that the disciples had part in writing, which contain Jesus. Scriptures contain Jesus in there. And they're going to use those to loose the remnant. And then the remnant will carry Jesus through the disciples' writings to the Jews. And that's how the disciples have part in bringing Jesus along with those that are converted to Jerusalem. And so that's the way the doctrine looks to me, folks. And I'm trying to place the things where they could fit. And that's where, I mean, I prayed about it, and that's where I come up with. I can't prove every bit of it, but one thing I can prove, Jesus is a judge and God is a judge, and judges sit on asses. And when Christ comes back, he's going to come back in war, with a war horse. He's not coming back on an ass, folks, or on a colt. He's coming back on a white horse. That I do know. And then all Israel shall be saved. That is, all those that trusted in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And then Ezekiel 36 and 37 will apply to those Jews, that Jewish nation. And then that's when that nation is born again. Okay, so that's the way the doctrine looks. I don't know if you guys see it. You guys were probably thinking, man, that guy's crazy. But anyway, be it as it may, that's the way it looks, and we'll... Anybody got any questions about that? Okay. Verse 8, the Bible says, And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, the act of spreading your garment on the ground and spreading palm branches on the ground is an act of submission. It's an act of giving honor to somebody when you do that. However, a lot of times when people do things, especially crowds of people, it's because they see somebody else do something. And you know they saw the disciples put on those asses. They had to have seen that because they set Jesus on them. Jesus sent the disciples to go bring him asses. He was amongst the people. They did so, put their clothes on them, and they set Jesus on them. Did he set them on both the asses? I highly doubt that, folks, but there's a good possibility that Jesus rode on both asses, maybe not at the same time, that he rode on one, he got off of it, and rode on another one. There's a good possibility because there's two of them involved. And in the other Gospels, there's only one, and that's the colt. But the act of spreading, it's an act of a submission, an act of honor towards somebody. In today's day, when you have a crowd of people doing things because somebody else does it, it's called herd mentality. I heard that a lot in a trading atmosphere. Herd mentality. That's when one person does something and a whole bunch of other people follow them. And you know, that's what most of the multitude had, because one minute they're throwing palm branches down and they're throwing their clothes down. And then the next minute, and they're crying Hosanna, which means save now. And when Christ didn't save them now, all of a sudden they're crying crucify him. So what did they have? It sounds to me like they had this herd mentality. And so what it looks like here is when they're crying Hosanna is that they're making a demand from Jesus. And so it's really not it's really not Jesus they want, folks. It's what Jesus can do for them. That's what they're looking for. It's what Jesus can do for them. And what's the nation? What is the nation? What's it under right now? It's under the bondage of Rome. And when Jesus doesn't free them from their bondage to Rome, look at what they say. Here's what the leaders say. John 19:14. Here's the King of the Jews coming into Jerusalem. When Jesus doesn't release Israel from Rome, this is what they say. John 19:14. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And the people obviously agreed with them, because you don't see any of the people saying, That's not right! We do have a king. He just came into Jerusalem riding upon an ass, and it's Jesus. Release him. None of them say that. But they cried out, Crucify him. And you'll find that in other of the Gospels. But that's the same thing that happens today, folks, when you have presidents running for presidency and they promise all these things and they don't deliver. People lose their confidence in them and they go to somebody else. They go to somebody else that makes promises until they can't deliver, and then they go to somebody else, and it's an endless cycle with human beings. But most people, they're only interested in themselves, and if they were really interested in Jesus, they would have trusted him that he was their king, even though he didn't bring the kingdom in when they thought he should have. Right? I mean, we've seen time and time again that they're ignorant to the scriptures. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. They just don't know. They don't have the right people teaching them, and the people that are teaching them are trying to keep things from them. You know why people abandon Jesus today? Because somebody promised them that if they'll give so much money to a ministry, God will give them back 20 times that amount, and it didn't happen, and so they don't come to church anymore. Or somebody promised that that if you'll come to Jesus, he'll heal your sick mother. And so they come to Jesus thinking that Jesus is going to heal their sick mother, and their sick mother dies. But what do they really come for? They come for the healing of the mother. They didn't come for Jesus. They abandoned him. And when he doesn't make a person rich, they abandon him. Yep, that's how it is. That's how things work for those who come to Jesus for what they think they can get out of him. And they don't come to Jesus for who he is. He's God, he's the creator. And he died for everybody's sins. They come to him because they want something. And that's why churches are full this morning all over this country. And you see on the news that people are standing outside of the buildings trying to get in 2 hours before the services start just to get a seat. Church, why? So they can hear about Jesus, whom they love, whom they heard that he died for their sins. Yeah. That's why the churches are packed out this morning. And so, I just put this out there. The next time you do something for the Lord, whether it's street preach or hand out a tract, maybe ask yourself, do I know why I'm doing this? Is this because everybody else at church does it? Or is this something that I'm going to get out of Jesus? Or is this just something I want to do for Jesus because of who he is? Just something to think about. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Yeah, I don't want to get into any more of this. This is... You think you're confused now? Anyway, we'll stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we want to apply things correctly and we pray to you, and you bring certain things to our mind, and we just pray that we would just learn to apply things correctly, doctrinally correctly and spiritually correct, so that you would get honor from your words, Lord, and that you would, that your words would just be magnified. Magnified is the key, and we pray that if we do apply it wrong, that you show us and that we get it right with you and believe what you want us to believe, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.